Well, today's health report has, in one way or another, mostly been about the safe and rational use of medicines. And indeed, Australia does have a national medicines policy which seeks to achieve just that. But in this week's edition of the Medical Journal of Australia, there's an editorial arguing that the national medicines policy, which was put in place almost 20 years ago, in fact, in 1999, is out of date and needs to be reviewed. In fact, the government agrees, and the minister, Greg Hunt, committed to a review during the election campaign, although last month the expectations of this review were downscaled somewhat. One of the MJA authors is Orin Chisholm, who's Associate Professor of Pharmaceutical Medicine at the University of New South Wales. Welcome to the Health Report, Orin.
Thank you, Norman.
So what's wrong with the national medicines policy?
I wouldn't say that there's specifically anything wrong with the policy. It's more that it's 20 years since the policy was implemented and, you know, good quality assurance practice demands that you actually review policies from time to time. So 20 years is a good time period which to review the policy.
It hasn't worked with antibiotics. As we, you know, going on that last story, there's still enormous rates. They probably haven't been dented very much. We've got the National Prescribing Service out there trying to deal with this. A lot of money's been spent, and antibiotic prescribing is still inappropriately as high as ever, almost. So it's failed there.
Well, I think your previous speaker was saying that we need to look at social sciences to actually motivate patients to change their behaviours as well. And that's one thing that the NPS Medicine Wise was actually set up to actually do. It was set up to address the quality use of medicines, which is actually one of the objectives of the National Medicines Policy.
So what's changed in the last 20 years that you think needs to be addressed?
So there's been massive changes with technology, with our society, with the political system, the policy agenda, the informed patients that we have now. So, you know, now 20 years ago in 1999, you didn't have patients searching Dr. Google for their symptoms on their iPhones and then sharing it with their friends on Facebook.
Well, let's take safety to start with. Have we made... One of the commonest reasons for ending up in hospital is an adverse event with a medication. Either you get a toxic effect or you're not taking it or you're taking too much and you end up in hospital with an adverse event. Have we made any dent at all into the adverse events on medicines through having a national medicines policy in Australia?
Well, I don't think that the policy has actually been adequately reviewed to be able to answer a question.
So we've got a policy, but we haven't evaluated.
Yes.
We haven't got the data to evaluate
it. That's right.
My understanding is we haven't. So the question then is, and the other thing that was, I thought, fascinating in your list was if you look at the top 10 most expensive drugs 20 years ago and today, it's like night and day, isn't it? Just give us a sense of how that's changed.
Yeah, they're totally different. Back in 1999, the top 10 prescription medicine drugs on the PBS were small chemical molecules, so they're easier to manufacture, the supply chain is easier, the clinical trial designs are more simple. They were designed as one size fits all to treat large populations. They were things to treat high cholesterol and peptic ulcers and diseases like that.
And now it's targeted cancer therapies and autoimmune diseases and so on.
Yes, if you go forward to 2018 and review that list again, 7 out of the top 10 molecules are now biologically derived molecules. They're extremely complex molecules. They're proteins and monoclonal antibodies. The manufacturing processes are really complex.
And eye-wateringly expensive.
The supply chain is really complicated.
And there's a wider range of prescribers now too. It's more people prescribing, not just doctors.
Yes, so you have other healthcare practitioners that are able to prescribe medicines as well. We now have pharmacists, for instance, in giving the flu vaccines to patients as well.
Are there other technologies such as cell therapies where we take immune cells out and inject them back in, and medical devices which look like drugs? So what should the scope of the review be? Because I notice my old friend Andrew Wilson, who chairs the PBAC, is probably going to chair the review, suggesting don't have too high an expectation of this review when it happens. What should you think? What do you think the scope should be of this review?
So I think the scope should be looking back at the policy over the last 20 years and what it has actually achieved. The policy was actually derived specifically just for medicines. And now with these new therapies that are coming onto the market, should the policy actually be widened in scope to look at these new therapies and bring them into a cohesive policy that's looking at all of the different types of therapeutic products, not just medicines?
So Professor Wilson might think he's going to have it easy, but he's actually not. Oren, look, thank you very much for coming in. We might get you back when it's in process and we'll have a look at what's going on.
Great, thank you.
Thanks very much. Oren Chisholm is Associate Professor of Pharmaceutical Medicine at the University of New South Wales. You've been listening to The Health Report. I'm Norman Swan, and I really like your company next week.